podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And so, it's match day again. I'm with the great Raymundo, also known as the Gent, Raymond Wright, and also we have Aaron with us as well, who may join in with the discussion. It's pre-match. We're at a pub just outside of Brighton, strategically placed, ready to drive to the Bridge car park and then go on to the game against Man United. It's part two of this month's, or the last couple of weeks of fun and games with them. We lost that FA Cup semi-final, that's still grating, but I think it's time for revenge tonight, and I think we're going to win. Hopefully we do. One way or the other, this may go down as what I'm now going to be from now on calling St. Nigel's Day. You know, like you've got St. Totteringham's Day for the day when Arsenal have confirmed that they can't finish below Spurs. This is the equivalent, St. Nigel's Day. We are 12 points ahead of Palace. They only have 4 games left. Obviously, we're going to finish above them. By debate on whether they could swing an enormous goal difference or not, we already have guaranteed it mathematically. But this is the day we make absolutely sure by getting at least a point. As I said, I reckon it's going to be 3, but we'll see what Raymond thinks.
Well, good evening, Russell. I think it'll be another tight game. Hopefully, rather than shading it today, we'll do rather better. We need to work the goalkeeper rather more than we did, but I think a tough match. I think 2 evenly matched teams, and I think it will come down to who's on song on the night.
Yep, it's going to be interesting. We were mentioning off air earlier whether it's going to be a matter of Mittema against Juan Vitaca again as a matchup. That was probably one of the only times he's played within himself a little bit, and apparently he said as much anyway. He might be looking to put that right. I think De Zerbi's more likely to give him a chance to do that, isn't he, rather than switch it up to let them deal with a different opposition.
Well, I'm just wondering whether he'll keep his Cissé on wide on the left to start with. The pressure poses a different problem to United, and then bring Mittema on after an hour or so to then run when they're perhaps getting slightly tireder. And also, of course, the other option is, question is, Veltman being out, therefore presumably Grosch at right back. Will Gilmore be in central midfield with McAllister up further forward in the number 10 position? So I think it'll be interesting to see what the team selection is, and it should be a good game. And I think it was a good game at Wembley, a bit for the purists, but nonetheless, I think closer. I wouldn't want to call it.
No, minus the goals, of course. That was the one thing a purist wouldn't have liked, the lack of those. The notion of Mittema coming on as a substitute in what's already still a tight game is quite enticing, isn't it? But Billy Gilmore did well, so hopefully he will get at least some part to play tonight. I think he's deserved it. Your other half, Jane, is next to us. She's not going to want to talk, though. Have you got a prediction, Jane?
I think we will win.
Excellent, I love it, that's great. So Raymond thinks a tie game, not really sure. Jane's going for a win. I'm going for a 2-1 win, which I've been doing quite a bit recently, with utterly no success at all. I've got to get it right eventually, haven't I, surely, Alan?
Well, it's going to happen one day, but
might be 4 years from now.
Yeah, I think you've touched on the point. I was going to mention about the Mittema maybe want to get one over on Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah.
But it's a good point about maybe trying and see something a little bit different, and then bringing Mittema on afterwards. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So the other one is for me is will Ferguson be back maybe on the bench?
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to see that.
We missed him in that semi-final, didn't we?
Yeah. Then in the back four, we had Colwill, I think, played in the semi-final. So it'll be interesting to see whether he plays or whether he sticks with Webster and Dunk. I suspect that they will do that.
Yeah.
He'll stick with Webster and Dunk. And as you say, Gross is probably going to be playing right back. I can't see how he's going to bring anybody else in, really, for this particular game.
Exactly.
And
fingers crossed for the best. And St. Nigel's Day, are you looking forward to this new concept? Second year in a row, we're going to be finishing above Palace. Isn't that nice?
Wonderful, yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. Yes, mind the gap and all that is the phrase. But I'm hopeful for a win. I mean, I made a mistake before the semi-final, because I thought maybe we might completely outplay them, and and embarrass them. So I don't want to say the same again, although I'd love it to happen.
Oh, wouldn't it be good?
I'm just looking forward to, you know, maybe Roy Keane being in the studio and spouting off about how great Manchester United are.
Oh, well, that lesser team that they played Brighton.
And then have to say afterwards, well, Man United played rubbish. And,
yes, exactly. It would be good because, he's likely to be in the studio. Gary Neville will be, I'm sure. Live on Sky.
Yeah.
And every chance we can put things right, can't we?
Yeah.
It felt like we should have done better last time.
At the end of the day, I mean, we completely outplayed Wolves. I mean, people were saying, oh, Wolves played badly, but actually, just their old gameplay was just fabulous. And there's no reason why we can't stretch Manchester United in the same way, to be honest with you.
And Raymond, final word from you before the game.
Before we wrap it up, my concern is, I suspect, on the betting, so I think we're probably favourites again, which actually I never particularly like. And you know, who would have suspected at any time in our recent history that we'd be favourites perhaps in two matches running against Manchester United? So it shows how far the club has come. But I would much rather that they were favourites and we were the slight outsiders. But obviously we can review this when we know the result.
Exactly. And can I just say, this might be what you're going to say, Alan, so I'll let you go first.
No, I was just going to say the other thing as well, this particular game, actually there's so much riding on it for both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, this usually at this time of the season, you can say, well, maybe Manchester United, well, in recent years, Manchester United has been out of most things anyway, but normally United will be going for lots of different prizes and top fours, whereas us, we would like to win to maybe move a little bit further up the table, but it's not like...
Yeah,
it's not such a big game that it is today. I mean, we both need to win today.
They need to try and secure Champions League. We need to try and go a step towards securing Europa League. Four wins, according to our calculations, four wins out of seven should do it due to other fixtures taking place. Not both teams being able to win other games taking place elsewhere. So, let's get one of those out of the way now.
Yeah,
and put more pressure on Man United, because if they've they're, I think, 4 points out of Liverpool in fifth, now, and they've played two games less. Obviously, there'll be one game less after tonight.
Yep.
And we could do with stitching them up from that point of view. I have not forgotten, which is going to be my point, those supporters after the game.
Oh.
Graceless, classless in every regard, and I want to stick one on them. To be honest, not that I'm going to ever see any of those people again to tell them to their faces that they were wrong, but or not to gloat, but just a general sense of I want to get revenge. Right, to the game. Yes, Kevin, we've done it, last seconds. Penalty.
Looks like a rugby fucking kickoff.
They're all on the halfway line. You see, now fuck up. You see me now, Bill, now fuck up. Have that, United, you bastards! Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what it was? About the pen. I mean, in terms of where that happened, handball was given, last seconds. Those bastards on that cup semi-final day.
Penalties. We have penalty now, mate. Thanks very much. See you later.
I hope they like their Sing the Albion Now Fuck Off Home song. Because that's what they were singing to us. That's what they were singing to us. We'll see you soon.
Fucking yes!
How dick-headed were their fans in that semi-final after the game? I don't know if you saw any of it, I did. They were singing, "You've seen United, now fuck off home."
It's back, in Brighton, now fuck off home.
Back off. Back to you, dickheads.
Fuck off, that's sorry, you mate.
In the North Concourse after the game, and what a game, a decent match. 0-0 looked about right, or even Stevens looked about right. I thought, as we were saying just off air, Andy Bravery, we started to thread it together a lot more towards the latter stages of that second half, didn't we? It still looked like it was going to be level pegging, but especially when we had that triple chance near the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think first half, could have been a goal either way, really.
Yeah,
either
yeah.
side. And then second half, I just thought like, we just dominated the game, really. Yeah. We really dominated it. We were really positive. So if anyone deserved to get a penalty, it was us.
Yeah.
Finally, they gave us one.
Exactly. And what a way to beat United on a penalty. That seems poetic, doesn't it?
So pleased for McAllister.
Oh, yeah. He's really...
A lot of pressure out there.
Yeah, and they did the shithouse stuff, holding him up. There was about 8 or 9 people in the penalty box for a good couple of minutes. What the hell are they doing in there? The refs should say, right... Everyone out, Bryson and Mandu.
I was thinking,
and Bookham.
And he'd given the goal by then, he'd given the penalty by then, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Like,
what are they doing?
McAllister just kicked hold of the ball, didn't he? He's had a nice cuddle.
He should
have saved those guard in the penalty spot.
He should have kissed it in front of Weghorst. But anyway, beautiful, beautiful day.
Yeah.
I've got an idea.
I mean, the European tour.
The European tour is on. We said we needed 4 from 7, we now need 3 from 6. That is doable. We've got Everton at home next. We don't take anything for granted, but if we can beat them on Monday, in a game annoyingly I can't make, but anyway, if we can beat them in that game, then we're down to 2 in 5. Then that becomes not a procession, but it becomes really, really, really lightly.
And we might not even need that many wins.
We might not. No, that's the maximum definitely needed.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, a good game overall.
It was a great game of football. It was a really good game of football.
A winner, a 1-0, right at the end.
Yeah.
You can't beat that, can you?
No.
We were saying that about 5-10 minutes earlier in where I am.
And when De Gea's concerned, like, he looked knackered at the end. We worked him so hard. That second half, we really worked him.
Yeah. I mean, some very good saves by both goalies, actually. Steele was given man of the match for us by the sponsors. I can't think of anyone in particular that deserves it more. I thought we all played quite well.
One
or two people looked a bit off it.
When you look at the way, I mean, in terms of the team itself, though, I mean, it was a cobbled together team, really.
Yeah.
So we still beat them.
And this has been out our man Pascal, who normally scores against them.
Absolutely.
And we weren't missing something in midfield, were we? Because Caicedo started a right back, and then they moved him back out.
Once he's back in there, though, all of a sudden we're quicker, we're closing the ball down, we're moving the ball quicker.
We were struggling in midfield a bit, weren't we, the first half? But what a result, what a game.
Yeah.
And let's have a bit, I'll catch a bit more now from a few others. Andy Bravery, always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
So we spoke there to Andy Bravery. Now we've got Alan and Raymond with me, who we spoke to before the match. I predicted 2-1. My impeccable record continues of getting the scoreline wrong, but I don't care, because we did win 1-0. Raymond, how was that for you?
Well, I thought that was great. And the best thing is that, dramatic irony, we win with a penalty, and the headline is, penalty separates Brighton and United again.
Exactly, yeah. We were saying the same thing just now. Poetic justice. Yeah. An appropriate way to win the game.
True dramatic irony, that.
Yeah. Oh, so we're looking at the replay, so it looks like Luke Shaw was the man who handled it. As we didn't see, in the ground, I couldn't see any concept of a handball at all, Alan. It turned out there was one. It was buried, the penalty, after some shithousing. It didn't work.
And, 6 points. 6 points. We took 6 points.
Thank you very much to the 6 points, man. You. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Chris, that's Chris Stiff you're hearing. Chris, you enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. A days of dreaming of taking 6 points off Man United.
And Chelsea. The two least likable big six clubs of the lot.
Yes.
Magnificent.
To be honest, it's only a shame we only took 4 points off Leeds. That would have made it complete.
Yeah, exactly.
On the taking 6 points off the cup teams. That would have made it complete.
Yeah. But you know, we'll take what we can.
Well, you can add West Ham to that as well. So, yeah. We took 6 points off them.
Buried in the top corner again from McAllister.
Yeah, great pen.
Relentless, isn't he?
Great pen.
Berghorst was trying to do his bit of putting off.
I know.
Going up, speaking to the gear.
Yeah.
And saying and everything else.
Didn't work, did it, this time? No, why the hell? There's about seven people.
If I'd been the ref, I'd have turned around and red carded him.
Yeah. There's seven people in the box standing around, including our guys. Just the ref should go up and go, right, all of you lot, apart from the penalty taker and the goalie, get out, and goalkeeper, get on your line.
I would just simply start booking them.
Yeah. I don't know who was booked from our lot, so I might not agree with that. I don't know.
I just start booking them.
Yeah, and it's beautiful that we won on a penalty after what happened at Wembley, but also that we won with that penalty despite them trying to sour it. And they couldn't manage it, and we scored with basically the last kick of the game, pretty much barring the kickoff.
I was nervous there was going to be someone added on. I wasn't actually genuinely nervous.
I thought we'd blown the whistle before the VAR thing started to happen.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure. He's taking it as an after the final whistle, a game against Man U. Surely not.
almost
was, wasn't it? Yeah.
That is why I thought it was going to be time added on.
Yeah. Suddenly stop.
Yeah.
And the Brighton players were saying handball.
Yeah.
And I thought he'd actually play in the final.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. I wasn't sure. I was confident once the ref went over to the camera, obviously you're confident it's most likely to be a thing. But also I saw him look at it once in quite a bit of detail, and then he started to move away, and then he just went for a second quick look. But by that point, you know he's made his mind up, as he didn't take long to agree with what's been suggested, Alan.
Thank God for VAR, that's what I said.
Yeah, I've always loved, haven't you?
It's quite funny actually, because the fans were really giving Mariner a lot of abuse.
Yeah, exactly.
What did Welbeck think he was doing all night?
Oh yeah, he didn't have a good one, Welbeck, but let's not dwell on that too much.
He got that chance right on the edge of the box, just laid on the plate for him.
He likes to look casual and compose and place it, but he doesn't place it right, does he? So often he's done that. He did that in the Wolves game when they were given the ball.
He's not a number 10. He's playing number 10.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
playing Cissé. That's how he works, isn't it? Undav had a bit of a thing as well. He did all right. Put himself about. We're looking at the screens while we're talking in the Amex North Concourse here. We've had a bit of De Zerbi. That's why we had that song, because they've been showing the dressing rooms. But they are doing an extended interview post-match from the live Sky commentary coverage with Ali Mac. And he is beaming from ear to ear. Come on, Ali. Yeah. You don't really want to leave, do you?
He's just added $2 million to his price.
Only two?
I think it was a really, really enjoyable game. I mean, the midfield battle was really good.
Yeah, it was a good game. We're not just saying that because of the...
It was a good game. Second half, I thought we were fantastic. I mean, particularly when Caicedo came in midfield, it released
release that Mac McAllis early, but he was playing really well.
Yeah, yeah.
If you like, in the last 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Markwood did really well.
One thing we did discover today is we have yet somebody else who can perform well at right back, and that's Casido.
Yeah, I mean, it's not his natural position, and you can see that, but he was still comfortable enough there, wasn't he? The only issue was it took out what we had in midfield, but...
After the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was noticeable not having Gross. I really did miss
Gross. It really was, didn't it? Yeah.
And because he's always the out ball. He always seems to be the out ball quite often, so not having him there.
He has time on the ball.
Yeah. And he plays well against Man United as well, so even more the case, we missed him. But we got the job done. It was, I think we edged it, we deserved it just about, and we got it.
I just want to say that I was watching Matoma when they made the substitution near the end. I think he was desperate to come off. He was absolutely knackered. And actually, in fact, he was almost on his knees.
Yes.
So I think maybe he's got to rest in for next Monday.
Yeah.
So he's fresher for the Arsenal.
Well, that's okay.
Game.
We could do that.
And the other observation I made was Ayari.
Yeah.
He was getting stripped ready to come on right at the very end, and obviously, because of the penalty, there was a lot of lost time.
Yeah.
So he kind of lost his opportunity coming on. He looked quite upset that he hadn't come on, actually.
Yeah.
So he was given a bit of a hug by one of the Italian assistants. So,
And loads of great stuff at the end with the crowd and the players. A real camaraderie between everyone.
Oh.
And not least in the dressing room, as you saw on the screen.
I think it's just basically, we're on the up, boy.
We're on the up, aren't we?
To get 3 points today, we've won their game in hand.
Yep.
One of their games in hand.
Yep. United are eight ahead of us. We won't catch them probably in the Champions League. Yep. So who knows?
Yeah, have we gone 6-6 now?
I think we have. I'll need to tell that. But the important thing is Man United acted graciously outside some of their fans. They've now got to look over their shoulder for Liverpool, of all teams, their arch rivals, who seem dead in the water. But they've come back strong, 5 wins in a row, and they're only 4 behind with having played a game more. It's doable now that we've taken 3 points off United.
But I have to say, other than Brighton winning today, Liverpool won, because, you know, we've helped Liverpool.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We've helped their chance of possibly overtaking United and getting sneaking into the Champions League. So I'm sure all the Liverpool fans will be saying, hurrah, thanks, Brighton.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's still in our hands to be in fifth.
I know, yeah, it is.
Yeah, so it's still in their hands to be above Liverpool. I know the only thing, obviously, with Liverpool, they have an easier running than we do. But
3 points from 6 guarantees us Europe now. But I reckon we could go beyond that.
Yeah.
Let's take it a game at a time, obviously. But we could do big things there. Yeah.
I just hope Monday's not a banana skin for us, and we can get through that. If we get 3 points there, then really, it's going to be set up so well for the Arsenal game away.
Also, finally with you boys, because I mentioned it at the top of the episode. I said St Nigel's Day, barring a ridiculous goal difference, it was already a thing. St Nigel's Day is now here.
Yeah.
We are now 15 points ahead of Palace, and a massive goal difference as well. Happy St Nigel's Day. Brighton and Palace fans everywhere. And also, can I say, May the 4th be with you. It's May the 4th today, I noticed that the social media, I think they tapped into that with the Star Wars thing, didn't they?
We did notice
that, boys. Yeah, good play as always. They're brilliant, those guys. Anyway, I've got to leave it there. We've got to wrap it up and chat some others. But Raymond, quickly to you.
Yeah, just finally, returning to the top of our thing, the pre-match, I said it's going to be close.
Yeah.
And it was close.
Well, yeah.
And I think...
Don't get closer than that.
And I thought Steele was very good. He really did earn his corner, and I thought he was the man of the match.
Yeah.
I think Casino
and
McAllister, I'd agree with the sponsors on this occasion.
Alright, yeah. And I'd go along with that.
Casino and McAllister and Dunk not far behind.
And De Gea did quite well at the other end, to be honest, as well. He made some good saves, although not at the end he didn't. Anyway, thanks, gentlemen.
Cheers.
So, Duncan, how did you enjoy that 90 minutes of football plus stoppages?
Well, I've had the most different and interesting way of listening and watching the game that I've ever had. I was in London, meeting overran, trains were all messed up, so I was listening on the radio, on my phone, eventually got to Falma at 9:20, so it's after half time.
Well off.
And all the gates were closed and wasn't allowed in. So then
I didn't miss much.
So managed to find just next to Dick's bar, there's a big TV where the staff go in. And so I was watching from outside, watching that, and I watched the best bit with loads of fans around me, so I got to celebrate. Absolutely amazing. I mean, probably a season defining goal that was, you know, absolutely incredible.
Absolutely, and I said to my Man United supporting acquaintances, big game tonight, I said, it's Man United versus the good guys. And we are the good guys, they're the bad guys, and we've beaten the bad guys, home and away. And I'm talking about you as well, Chelsea. The two games you want to do the double, most of all, I do anyway.
We've done the double of Chelsea and Man United. Fucking fantastic.
And the hope of the away game, it should have been by a wider margin in both games, Chelsea and Man U. Tim, you're over here for this game and the game on Monday, Everton match from Switzerland, where you are based.
Yeah.
Well, good timing. Do you join up?
I'm speechless.
Except for saying speechless, but that doesn't count.
That's not good on a podcast, though.
I thought my heart was going to jump out my mouth. And I was watching it with Charlotte because Duncan was not allowed in. So I was with Duncan's daughter, Charlotte, and we were just jumping around. And, oh, my God, I mean, when my one of my Leeds mates was sending me a text about 3 minutes before saying, get a point off the scum. And we didn't just get a point, we got through all three. I really think we earned it. It was a good game, and I think we earned it by stretching them at the end and making the space that allowed the shots, that allowed the handball. And trending on Twitter is Shorehand Redemption.
Shorehand Redemption.
Yeah. There you go. You've got your catchphrase at the start of the podcast.
We have. We also got another title for today. I've invented a new day. I know it's the 4th of May and you've got May the 4th be with you and all that, but it's also St. Nigel's Day. Nigel's our friends from South London. Are officially unable to catch us. They're unable to catch us as the bell. They would have had to have won all their games and we'd have to have lost all ours.
A lot of goals,
and a massive swing goal difference. But now it's mathematically impossible. Second year in a row. Enjoy that, Palace fans, if you're listening.
Mind the gap, Crystal Palace. Mind the gap, I say.
I'm
going to
guess that there's
mind
not
a
single Palace fan listening to this.
Russell, we'll sing it anyway. It's getting bigger every time we play. Anyway, let's move it over, Tim. It's a pleasure as always. Yeah. It's great to have you over here whenever you could get here. Brilliant. And you're in the West Upper with us. Well, not with Duncan because he couldn't make it in, but you're up with the rest of us. And we have our old favourites of the podcast, Ahmed and Alison. Welcome back. Let's go with Alison first. Did you enjoy that?
It's good not to, isn't it? I kept saying all the way through, we're saving it for the final minute. I didn't realise quite we were pushing to, I believe it was 99 on the clock.
Yeah.
It
seemed to go on and on, didn't it? Yeah. And that long wait, all of the antics they were doing, obviously to try and delay it. The long wait from the fan point of view, though, was really anxiety inducing. And it's amazing that we got it. We're looking at stuff on the screen as we're talking. Is this the triple effort coming in, I think?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I've lost track of... that's not it. But, we had the triple effort on goal. I didn't see it, but apparently Shaw handballed it. It was looked out on VAR. They took a couple of minutes. Ref went over. He only had one extended look at it. And then started to shuffle away as if he was going to give it. Took one final glance to make sure, by which time I realised he was going to give it. And he did. And we just needed to bury it after that long delay. Yeah, and we did, didn't we, Ahmed?
Exactly. I think it was sweet revenge for Wembley.
Absolutely.
And
perfect way to do it, isn't it, as well? Penalty.
And the way McAllister took that penalty was absolutely cool.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Took his time.
Thought about it. He's
a cool head, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's really established himself as a proper penalty taker now, hasn't he?
I thought Solly March was going to step up.
That's the only way that the whole thing could have been even sweeter. Yeah.
That would have been, talk about big balls and deserving. If we made him take that, that would have been something else, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Whether he scored or not. Oh. We did say, Sonny's got to come on at some point. My seat neighbour said, he's got to come on at some point in case we get a penalty.
Yeah.
Also, he did, and we did, but he didn't take it.
Also, on the predictions, I had Brighton to win.
Oh, did you? Because we didn't see you before. What did you go for? I went for 2-1.
I went for 2-1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 2-1.
Welcome to my world of getting results wrong. We got the outcome right, obviously. That's the main thing.
What did you go for?
I went for a draw, but I'm very happy to be wrong.
Yeah. It could easily and possibly, some would say, should have been a draw. But I think based on our second half, we deserved it, didn't we?
Yeah, we definitely deserved it. It's games like this that, you know, leave you when you leave the game.
Yeah.
With a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and come on, Everton. Let's have them.
And this is an evening game. I've got a 2-hour drive home, and I mean, the difference when you get a result. Even compared with if we got a decent draw today, the difference of driving home with a 1-0 in our pockets
is
something else.
Yeah,
I'm going to be smiling for 2 hours tonight, just driving back.
Even though it's the first night, it feels like the weekend just started.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. So here we are, Thursday night, North Concourse. That wraps it up, I think, from our fan input tonight.
Come on, Brighton!
Yes, come on, Ahmed. Come on, Brighton!
Come on!
We've just seen the Albion quickly. Nissima! Oh, it's blocked. I think there's a handball in there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon VAR should look at that.
Oh.
Definitely a handball. Definitely a handball. Yeah, the ref should look at that.
That's a handball.
And so we have it. Anyway, that's it from here at the Amex. Stand or fall, Ahmed.
Brighton at the Albion.
Right, so actually, it's Match Day Special Extra. It's on the way out. We just bumped into Andy Bass and his friend Charlie as well, who's not been on the show. So, Andy, you seem a bit pleased.
Absolutely over the moon. Unbelievable. What a great result. I couldn't even watch Mariner looking at the screen, let alone watching the penalty. But I will take it. Who knew that David De Gea was going to go the wrong way and that fucking McAllister was going to make it unsavable even if he did. And it was absolutely magnificent. Absolute justice tonight.
Beautiful.
Absolute justice. Justice for the second half. Justice for that fucking obscene penalty they got after the game had finished like 2 years ago. So yes, and justice for us finally being above Spurs, who have been stinking out the Premier League for fucking months.
This is great. It's on a roll, boys.
So fuck them. Fuck United. And fuck Spurs. Fuck everybody. We did it. Well played, Brighton. You got what you deserved tonight. Well played, everyone. You fucking earned it. And yes, fuck it. We'll take 3 points in the bag. Sixth place. Europe, here we come. Come on.
Fantastic. Charlie, very quickly to you. Quick debut on the pod.
What he said.
That's brilliant. And we've got Alan Wares to join us. While we've been talking, Alan, did you quite enjoy that as well?
No, shit.
Yeah, I thought it's naff. I'm never coming again.
No, I hate all our players. I thought Man United should have been worthy winners. I thought the referee was extremely fair. And I don't know what he was doing, booking all those players in red. It's just not fair.
No, it's outrageous.
Now I've just got to toddle off to Guildford and lick my wounds. Someone else's.
Oh, ironic comedy.
Oh, did I mean... Yeah!
What a way to end the podcast. Alan, pleasure as always, sir. Sports Social Podcast Network.